following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. People are funny. I laugh at society. Because it seems as though we as a group of, you know, humans are resistant to change on anything. If you could think of it, there's some sort of thing that has changed it, you know? For example, you know, McDonald's has never been the same. And people have been waking up to the fact that, you know, a lot of what they sell and serve is not really, is not what you would consider food per se, but nevertheless, they change the menu and people go, oh my God, you can't have that. The invention, if you will, of the compact fluorescent light bulb, you know, the CFL thing, and people freaked out about that because we wanted to get away from incandescent bulbs because A, they're wasteful, B, they're like, I don't know, 100 and something years old, and they just don't last. And boy, howdy, man. People started, oh, you can't phase out the incandescent bulb. That's just wrong. Yeah, you can. It's called progress. And that's part of it. You know, it's like I think of the simple little things of climate change and, okay, global warming, if you will, whatever you want to call it. It's a thing. It's been proven. It's a scientific fact that humans have affected the environment around us.
Well, that's not the case. You can't prove that. That's not, you know, you can't take away my SUV and allow me to burn billions of gallons of oil because it's bad for the environment.
Well, yeah, of course we have an impact on our environment. Go to any river and take a good look at it. You know, not any river. I know there's some clean ones out there. But, you know, the Mississippi River, for God's sake. We live right here on it here in Memphis, and it's filthy. Although it's amusing to me that there are people that actually catch and eat fish out of the damn thing. They've got so much mercury in these fish, they sink. It's quite impressive. I exaggerate, of course. But you know, change is inevitable. Things happen. Progress, if you will. Sometimes we take a step back. It happens. That's just one of those things. When I was in terrestrial radio, yeah, there was a massive change, you know, that I watched happen, and I was, you know, caught up in it, and it was a thing for good or ill. I mean, that's yet to be seen, but nevertheless, it does present its own issues with people who are resistant to change. And we live in a world now where things are changing so quickly in everything. When the internet was put together and it became a thing, we invited it into our home and not really realizing exactly what it was that we were getting ourselves into, other than the fact that, hey, it was pretty cool. I mean, we have things literally at our fingertips. Here's something you don't think much about, and this popped into my mind. The world of being a private investigator has changed dramatically thanks to the internet, because people don't need it. They don't need to hire a PI anymore to track down someone's background or anything like that. I mean, it's just, anybody can do it. You almost have to be, you know, a trained lawyer to be a private investigator these days. And you spend most of your time as a researcher, I would think. But that's just one small example of the way things have changed all around us. We look at television. I had come across this fascinating story about the 10 most popular sports in the world. And I'm mentioning this on a global level because most of it did not even come to any real surprise to me, but some of it did. The top sport on the planet is soccer, of course, because they measure their fans in the billions, okay? You know, well, soccer's a stupid sport, man. It's all just running. It ends in the top. Shut up. You cannot argue with half the planet that follows it. Some 3.5 billion people follow soccer, and it may be more. And when you watch a couple of matches, you understand why. I mean, people really get into it, and it's a regional thing. What was surprising to me was the number two sport on the planet, which is cricket. That you don't think much about that, but here in the States, we don't, because there's not that many people. There's small pockets of cricket players, and it's a fascinating sport. We talked about it last week, and I'm not going to bloviate much more on it, but that's just it. When you start looking at American sports like baseball, American football, and maybe golf to a certain extent, they show up near the bottom of the list. You know, believe it or not, the NFL is like, you know, out of the top sports on the planet, it's like near the bottom, because it only has, you know, 200 million, 300 million followers of it. And it seems like a lot of people, but across the planet, they don't get it. So we as Americans, I think, have a tendency to be rather arrogant about our way of life, the way we see things, the way we do things. Is what's happening in Europe or Asia or anywhere else around the world far better than us? In some aspects, yes. In some, no, not so much. We live in a world that seems to be shrinking dramatically by virtue of things like the internet and digital communication. You know, like, for example, this show is heard. It's got a lot of listeners in France and in Russia. I don't know why, but they do, and I'm grateful for it. There's a lot of folks throughout Europe that tune into this thing, and I guess because they're interested in hearing how we as Americans feel about certain things. As a country, I think we've also found ourselves in a really bizarre position where we are not as a group or as a country, I think, ready to embrace any type of change whatsoever. It's just we are so protective of our quote unquote way of life. We think that it is a good thing for us to, you know, burn our natural resources till there's nothing left. That it's okay for us to pollute things and for us to just recklessly live. We've armed everybody and it hasn't solved any problems. We're one of the few countries in the world that actually have the death penalty. I'm not going to get into that because that's just going to piss off some people. And if it does, you know, so be it. I mean, if you're a big supporter of it, that's fine. My only thought about it, since you're asking, my thought on the death penalty is this. I think it should only be allowed at the commission of the crime. If you catch somebody in the act of that offense, then yes, you know, take them out. But if it's going to go through an incredibly long legal process, put them in a box and let them grow old there. But of course, I also think that they should take all the potheads and take them out of prison because they haven't committed any crimes aside from not allowing the government to make money off of what they're doing. That's the only difference. That's really all that is. But, you know, I digress. Change is inevitable. And in this world that we are happening, that we're existing in right now, it seems like we change a lot. A lot of things have happened just over the past couple of years. Things have just changed dramatically. I mean, we look at technology, for example. Computers have gotten to be so fast and impressive of what they can do. We've almost kicked the desktop out of our house, and we're carrying around computers in our pockets in the fact of the phone, which used to be really small. I just got a new phone myself, and when I was walking through the store and I'm looking at all the different phones that are out there, I noticed that there's not really any tiny phones that we used to have. Remember the little bitty flip phones? They had the tiny little screens on it. And of course, when you text, it was you had to like hit the button two or three times to get to the certain letter. And I mean, sending a text, you'd have been better off sending Morse code, really. But we've come so far in this, and we've appreciated that change. That's a good thing, right? Hey, you know, the phones are getting faster. They're getting bigger again, which, you know, I'm carrying around what they call a phablet. It's a phone and tablet. It's impressive what the thing can do. Lugging the thing around is you know, that it changes a little bit of what you have to do. I have to think more. I carry a bag now, not a purse per se. It could be it's a postal bag. It's an old letter carrier bag. And I carry all sorts of stuff in it. And here we are, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'll never carry a purse. I'm too manly for that. Man, I carry so much shit with me wherever I go because I never know what I'm going to need. That's just it. I'm constantly prepared. My bag has a lot of tools in it. I got one of those, what you call a Leatherman. You know, it has a couple of knife blades on it. It has a couple of screwdrivers. It's got a hole punch. Because you never know. I might have to make a hole into something. Got a pair of needle-nose pliers because, by God, you find out how much you really use the damn thing when you have it in your pocket or in your bag. I also carry a pocket knife because, you know, it's a tool. I'm one of these people that I've always got to have something with me that can do that. And here I am in this day and age basically carrying around a purse. In fact, I was looking for something. I forget what it was that I needed, and I was in my car, and I went, wait a minute, I've got something in my bag, and I went rooting around in there, and sure enough, I found it amongst the thumb drives, the cabling, the phone chargers, the, you know, other keys, just, you know, CDs, files. I carry a Moleskine book that I write in from time to time, make notes in, if I'm not using my phone for something like that, you know. So, yeah, we've invested so much stuff in our world that a guy like me has to carry around stuff like that. And there's probably some of you that sit there listening to this, man, you're a sissy carrying around something like that. What the hell's the matter with you? But see, here's the thing. If I leave home for the day and I don't have something, I feel sort of like unprepared. You know, it's not every day I'm going to need that roll of electrical tape, but by God, I've got some on me. For whatever reason, I do have it. And I guess it's because, you know, I have an office at home, and I'm for the record, I'm here at the radio station. I'm in Studio C. And I never know, because there's something that might break here that I might need to fix, and I was like, if I'm not carrying around that stuff with me, then I have to have it. Not that I need to justify my actions for you people, but I just did. But that's part of the change that we deal with. We do this voluntarily, or sometimes we just get caught up into it and not realize that we have already adapted to things, and we might bitch about such things, you know, because, yeah, I would rather not have to carry around all this stuff, but I do. It's the way it goes. That's just life. When you look at other things in the world that are happening that are out of your control, then you have to change. You have to adapt to that. There's a story that has come out now. The Department of Homeland Security has recommended that we as American citizens be vigilant now when we're hanging around shopping malls, because apparently there has been some sort of threat that extremists, terrorists, are targeting shopping malls here in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, here's the interesting thought about that. These people are out of touch, not just Homeland Security, but the terrorists themselves. They're not a bright bunch. This is not a career that has a bright, long future to it. You're not going to be in it much longer when they strap a suicide vest full of explosives onto you and they send you into a mall or wherever for you to detonate, that sort of thing. But they're not very bright people at the beginning, so they decided, I guess, at their latest corporate meeting, which is how I think of terrorist organizations. It's like a corporation. They sit down and they plan their next move. And their consultants have suggested to them that going to a shopping mall would be a good place to cause some problems. They're a little out of touch, because shopping malls are not populated by anybody anymore, aside from a few senior citizens that like to go for a walk. It's a great place to walk. That's what they do. They go in and they're the mall walkers. But nobody really goes there. Excuse me. Nobody really goes there to hang out like we used to back when we were kids, because that was the thing to do. So malls have gone away for the most part. They're starting to close up. Steely Dan had a great tune on their last album, Everything Must Go, called The Last Mall. And it's about that. It's about the disappearance of that sort of thing. And we as people now, we're not even going to that many stores. We're doing everything online. So we've become, amidst the social networks that exist out there, we've become somewhat antisocial. So therefore, the terrorist organizations have become a little less, I don't know, smart about these sorts of things. And somebody needs to get a hold of their consultancy firm and deal with those people, because they don't know what they're doing. Granted, we as Americans and we as a society here in the United States are a bit different, because I guess you could say we're a bit backwards. And in our arrogance, we have managed to keep terrorism, for the most part, out of the confines of this country. Because at least the people of like ISIS or whomever, Al-Qaeda, what you name, Boko Haram, whatever, they're not interested in coming here, because they realize that A, most Americans, especially in the South, are heavily armed and trigger happy, and B, kind of drunk, so they're ready to shoot just about anything for any reason whatsoever. and C, we are so on the lookout for this sort of thing that our own short-sightedness has become to nearly insulting levels. There's a reason why these organizations hate us. And it really kind of boils down to something very simple, like rock and roll, cheeseburgers, soda, Coca-Cola, whatever. They don't have these things at their very whim. They look upon us as being this arrogant, privileged bunch. And we are. We have put ourselves here. We worry about things like the decline of the middle class. That's our biggest worry. Or whether or not the rich are getting taxed enough. And it's getting to the point now where there's the haves and the have-nots. And here we are, for the most part, unless you're really, really wealthy, you don't give a shit about the rest of the people. You really don't, because you've got yours. You've earned yours. Great. So fantastic. But this is the thing. This is why other people hate us so much. That's why, pardon me, it's gotten so cold and weird. I got stuff in my throat. There is this prevalence. If you remember during the Cold War, the Soviets used to refer to us as the decadent West, because, quite frankly, we are kind of decadent. You know, we put cheese on everything. That's kind of decadent. we drink what we call beer, and it's not really. I mean, American beer is about as light. I mean, come on, it's watery. It's weird. But that's what we like. That's what our preferences are. And we sit here and we say, this is us, man. If you don't like it, screw you. Take a hike. Oh, we can't have no more immigrants around here, but my family's Scotch-Irish and I'll kick your ass. You know, it's that kind of attitude that does make us look kind of bad, and you have to admit that. You know, well, I was born here in America, but my family came over here from Germany. Right. That's, you know, you're this country was founded by immigrants. Let's slow down on the immigrant thing. Yeah. Do we have a lot of immigrants here? We have a lot of illegal aliens here. Yeah, sure we do. But we're not the only country that has that problem. Well, Mexico may not have that. They're exporting more than they can produce. So, you know, you think of Mexico as being almost like this vast wasteland because all the Mexicans have left. That's not true. Mexico City is like the largest city on the planet, and there's plenty of Mexicans there. and most of them want to stay put. They're fine. They're fine there. It's you know, the border towns. Having been to some of these border towns, and if I put myself in their position, if I were there, I'd want to get out too. There's some pretty shitty places down through there. And yeah, there's the what do you call it, the gangs and the gangsters and the drug lords and all that other stuff, and even the Mexican government has no idea how to control it. So you know, yeah, if you put yourself in the position of these people, you would sit there and go, you know what, why not, let's make a run for the border, if you will, which I thought was a very unfortunate tagline that Taco Bell had for so long. Make a run for the border, because on the perspective of the Mexicans, that's a real thing. Of course, in South Texas, where I grew up, we always referred to Taco Bell as the Mexican phone company, because it wasn't really Mexican food, for God's sake. And it's not. I mean, it's not even California Mexican food, which is where the place came from, was from California. But by God, I have gone on to something completely different. But what I started talking about here is change, and that we're all going to have to deal with it. I mean, and we've all kind of gone along with it. We've bitched about everything along the way, Man, I remember a time when we'd done this and did that, and you can't do that no more. Well, you know, that hasn't changed. I mean, hell, I do it. We all do that sort of thing. Do I hearken back to the things that I used to enjoy as a child? Absolutely. You know, but is it really worth wasting much time on? Not really. It's, you've got those fond memories. You've done these things, and they're good to have. It's good to keep. It's good to have in your pocket. It's what makes us who we are. But I urge every one of you, if you can, if you have the ability to do so, travel a little bit. Go outside of your area. I've known people who have lived in the same place where they were born, and they plan on dying there without ever leaving. Personally, I think that's a little shallow. They're perfectly happy staying where they are. And I guess that's okay for them. You know, I'm not, but you know, you're not really doing in the world any good by complaining about what's happening around you if you're not out there in it and seeing it. I'm not suggesting that you spend all your cash and hop on a plane and, you know, go find something. If you can do it, I think, you know, why not? Go somewhere different. See how other people live. See what other societies are like. And instead of relying on people like myself or people in the news media, God help us, Brian Williams, that poor bastard, he has been raked over the coals because of him fabricating some story about being in a war. And they should have raked him over the coals. They gave him a 6-month suspension without pay. And they put Lester Holt in on NBC. My issue with that is they should have fired him. They should have hung him out to dry. But at the same time, there's a story now that has come out about Bill O'Reilly over at Fox, claiming that he was on the ground in the Falkland Islands campaign. Well, as it turns out, that wasn't the case at all. Back in the 80s, when that whole deal went down and the British government or the British military was in the Falklands fighting there, there was only like 30 journalists allowed on the island, and they were all British. Bill O'Reilly was with CBS at the time, and I think he was in Buenos Aires with some other people. And then he went on to talk about how when he was over there were riots and there were people getting killed and people getting beaten. And that wasn't the case. He'd been called out on that. But he'll keep his job because he's Bill O'Reilly. And he has a lot of people that listen to him. That's fine. I guess that's just how it works. And that's a change that, I don't know, or lack of change, that people of that ilk are going to hang on to. They're not going to let go. It's funny. It really is. I don't understand, like, when we do things as a society to improve it, you know, like coming up with cars that are more fuel efficient, that burn cleaner, that don't put out as much, pollutants. We're using light bulbs that don't use as much electricity, that last longer. I mean, why this is a bad thing? If the end result is a cleaner place for us to live, then why is that a bad thing? And there really was. There was a time when people just completely flipped out over this whole light bulb thing. And some people still do because they're resistant to that. Well, this worked for my parents. This worked for my grandparents, worked for my great-grandpa, and it shouldn't change. You know, yeah. Well, you know, come on. We don't do things the way they used to do in the 1800s either. There's this thing called technology that happens. Can you imagine for one moment what it must have been like to live in the Old West? As fun as that might be, on the surface, you know, when you watch a Western, a great, you know, which personally they're not making enough of them. They quit making them, I guess, because all the stories have been told. But here's the thing. They're fun to watch. It's a fun time of American history to think about what it was like for these people. And some of it, most of Hollywood, the stories they tell there was complete bullshit. But some of it is, you know, enough realism to make you think. And you're sitting there going, you know, it was a simpler time. You didn't have the things that we have now that get in our way. And this becomes an interesting point. But at the same time, we didn't have anesthesia either. Bite down on this stick before I cut your leg off, son. So you had that going for you. You know, you didn't have, you know, a doctor back then was just somebody who happened to pick up on it and was able to, you know, I guess keep his lunch down while he was trying to work on somebody. Back in those days, if you were shot in the gut, it was a death sentence. You were going to be dead within a few days, if not immediately. Nowadays, you know, people get shot and we just patch them up. We send them back out. Here's your copay. Go on. But yeah, come on. Those are positive changes. We come along in society and we have somehow managed to keep ourselves from being entirely destructive. Because really, if you think about it, what are we, nearly 7.5 billion people living on this planet, and we still haven't managed to completely destroy it all. There's more births than deaths. People are living longer. The miracle of modern science is keeping people healthier. So it's those are good changes, don't you think? Of course, all this nonsense about, you know, well, I'm not going to vaccinate my child because I don't agree with the vaccines. Thank you. You people have managed to bring back a disease that we've eradicated 15 years ago. I'm talking about measles. And now it's a problem. Because the happiest place on earth, Disneyland, was the breeding ground for all of this, and now it's spread like crazy. Now we're trying to keep up with it. Thanks. So don't be so resistant to change. Yes, change is scary. There are some things out there that happen that we get comfortable with and we don't want to see going away, but that's just the way it is. Look at the magazine industry, the newspaper industry, print industry in general. They're hanging on by a thread, and they still manage to do so. My wife is one person who loves reading the newspaper. She constantly is, you know, she loves it. That's her thing. Right before she goes to bed every night, she gets into bed and she reads the paper. And I don't, but I thought, why do we need this? Why do we have this? I mean, because she enjoys it. That's why we have it. So I'm not taking that away from her. But as far as a true means of informing people, nah. There's too many other things that are out there. There's, you know, I can do the same thing. I can look on my phone and get what's happened immediately. You know, what's happening elsewhere around the world. Just like that. That's why with this show, I've refused to really kind of get into too many, topical things, because I produce a week in advance. So, I mean, I'll talk generally about it, because by the time I come out with it, even if I did it on the same day, by the time it come out, it would be old, you know, and that's just it. The lifespan of any type of news event is pretty short, if you think about it. It's the same thing with anything that you post on the web, whether it's a picture that you've, let's say you find, let's break it down to what everybody's favorite thing is on the internet, cat videos. You take a video of your cat doing something, doing what cats do. Cats have not changed. The cats have done the same thing for millennia. And you capture that animal doing something silly, what's amusing to you. You share it to all of the social media, which is a shitload. And all of these people see it. And within about, I think the full lifespan, probably about 36 hours. By that point, it becomes old news. Because I still see things that come up from time to time. You know, really old bits of, and what I mean by really old, I mean by like a year old. Oh, I've seen that before. It comes back around. It does. It's kind of cyclic that way, because nothing else has come up in the meantime to fill that void. And I just am fascinated by how people think that this is, you know, the worlds that we are. If Facebook suddenly changed into something, every time they change something, everybody bitches about it. Let's remind ourselves something. How much do you pay Facebook for the service? How much are you giving them? You're giving them everything but your money. You're giving them your whole life. You're giving them every photograph you take, every word you write down. They own. It's just in the terms of service. You didn't pay anything for a subscription to Facebook, and you never will, because they get so much more from you that is worth so much more. But we're not worried about terrorists coming to our shopping malls. We're not worried about light bulbs changing from one form to another anymore. We're not worried about, you know, cars that are half electric and half gas. We have passing interest in these things. But by God, did you see that cat doing something really goofy on the internet? Sometimes I think we lose our focus on certain things. Find out what's important to you. That's legitimate, okay? Seriously, that's what's legitimate. And hold on to it. Those are the important things. You see what I'm saying? Not that I'm on a soapbox or anything, but I just don't. I felt like I had to get that off my chest.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Far too often, I will sit here and talk about the radio business, and I've mentioned Radio Memphis on several occasions, but I've never really given you a look at what Radio Memphis actually does. So I sat down with a great musician, actually a great friend of the radio station, a fellow by the name of Eric Sommer, S-O-M-M-E-R.
On that day, every creature from Lower Manhattan oozes up the Broadway, and it is a collection of humanity that you just can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
These people live under the streets, live in the boxes. They are just... And one of the real heroes of that is a guy named Bingo Gazingo. But, you know, this is a wonderful guitar. But, you know, so we're in Chapel Hill. That's the home of the ultimate folk song writer, Elizabeth Cotton.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
My continued thanks to each and every one of you for continuing to subscribe to this podcast. Comes out every week, every Sunday. A brand new episode is out for your listening pleasure. We have continued to do that over a year now, and we're just damn happy about the whole process of it. So that's really quite groovy. For more, you can find me at the place where I work, which is Radio Memphis. If you don't know about it, it's radio-memphis.com. Go there, take a look, see what you think. I do a live show every weekday, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central to about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, was a bit of a wash because the weather was so bad. The roads were so iced up, I didn't get a chance to really get in as much as I really wanted to. So there was a couple of days I didn't come in. But, you know, hey, I own it. So, you know, if I don't feel like coming in, that's that's the way it's going to go. But there's also a live blues show, if you're into that, on Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Central till about 11 p.m. So... You can find me there as well. Of course, on Facebook, although I'm not as active on Facebook as I probably should be, but you know, you can find me there. And on Twitter, just search my name, Rick Cheddar, R-I-C-C-H-E-T-T-E-R. Google it, as Josh Robert Thompson would say. Google it and learn more if you'd like. So there you have it. You've heard what's coming up next time. I'm going to go. I got stuff to do. I got to head over to the shopping mall and see if Al-Shabaab is hanging around. You know, they're hanging around the Orange Julius thinking about their next move. So they're... Whatever. Let's all... You know what'll happen? This is... Mark my words. The second something happens in one of these shopping malls, the first thing they'll wind up doing is they'll set up TSA at all the entry points of every shopping mall, because that's the answer to everything. Something happens, and then we've got to go ahead and we've got to stop it from happening again. Not that these people will ever do it again that way. Yeah, well. Solving the world's problems one thing at a time, guys. Whatever. I'm just running my mouth. And thank you so much for listening and being a part of it. So take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.